Dollar Job at Mecklenburg Square. This is TheDealPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from Good Enough College in London's lovely Bloomsbury. Today is Thursday, the 21st of July, 2016. On this date in 1861, the Confederacy defeats the Union at the First Battle of Bull Run, the first major battle of the American Civil War. 1904, the Trans-Siberian Railway is completed. 1925, John Scopes is convicted of teaching evolution, an act illegal in the state of Tennessee. Gets a $100 fine. Interestingly, the textbook that Scopes teaches from, called A Civil Biology, discusses eugenics as if it was a normal thing. 1940, the so-called People's Parliaments in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia pass respective resolutions for the three countries to become Soviet Socialist Republics. 1949, the United States Senate ratifies a North Atlantic Treaty, which, interestingly, Donald Trump just yesterday said he may pull back from. The New York Times had an article about it. He said he was misquoted, then they posted a transcript. Read it if for some reason you are not as terrified as you should be. To quote the war nerd, quote, you have to wonder if Trump knows that the U.S. carefully boutiqueized the Baltic militaries, bribing them to specialize in marginal fields so that they'd have to depend on U.S. forces for basic defense, end quote. 1969, Neil Armstrong becomes the first human to set foot on the Mars. Birthdays are Robin Williams, Ernest Hemingway, Cat Stevens, and Don Knotts. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson and edited by Ari Swiecka. And today we have special guest star Will Dunbar, recently of Tbilisi, who can tell us what's going on in the streets. Thanks again for posting on our forum. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com or send us an email at tbilpod@gmail.com. A faction within the Turkish military tried to overthrow President Erdogan government from the 15th of July. The coup failed. The ruling AKP party is still in power. At least 290 people were killed during the attempted coup when anti-government soldiers seized parts of Istanbul and Ankara before surrendering. The government arrested more than 9,000 people in connection with it, all sorts of teachers, intellectuals, human rights lawyer most recently I saw on Twitter. Erdogan says he wants to bring back the death penalty to punish the participants. The government has also sacked nearly 60,000 police officers, judges, and teachers since the coup attempt. Erdogan announced a three-month state of emergency beginning on the 20th of July. He was so excited about this opportunity presented to him that he may declare it a national holiday. Just kidding. Georgia temporarily closed its borders with Turkey following the coup attempt. A number of Georgian citizens were stranded in Turkey before the border was reopened on the 17th of July. President Erdogan believes that his nemesis, Fethullah Gulen, is behind the coup. Gulen is a Muslim cleric who's lived in the U.S. in rural Pennsylvania, of all places, since 1999. He and his followers, known as the Gulen Movement, were allies of the AKP until around 2010, when Erdogan suspected them of working against him because he's so paranoid. Turkey is demanding that the U.S. extradite Gulen so that he can stand trial, but the U.S. is still reviewing the case. Kerry specifically asked for proof that he was involved in the coup. Turkey's also pressuring Georgia to close the Sahin School, an Islamic school in Batumi that is associated with Gulen. The Turkish consul to Georgia, Yasin Temizkhan, ordered parents to pull their children from the school and said he would petition Georgia's education ministry to close it. Consul has accused schools around the world that are associated with Gulen of promoting terrorism. Turkey's ambassador to Georgia was more calm, saying that Turkey isn't pushing for the school to be shut down. He did raise concerns about the school and about the Gulen movement in general during his meeting with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Ministry of Education, however.
Yeah, well, I mean, the consul in Batumi made some pretty strident remarks about the school being run by a terrorist Gulen organization and so on to a bunch of journalists who were recording him. One of those journalists, Batumi, is probably the only place in Georgia that has good local journalists, well, by the by, who are really professional and competent. And one of them asked him a follow-up question going, well, you're saying this is a school run by terrorists. That's a very serious accusation. Do you care to elaborate on that? And he goes, no, that was just background. Talk to me later. And so then the ambassador made those comments. Today, the ambassador went for a meeting with the deputy education minister. And he was filmed going in. And he was filmed coming out, and he made no comments to the press. But we can only imagine that Turkey is bringing significant pressure to bear on its Georgian partners. Azerbaijan just closed an entire university affiliated with Gulen. So I think that's certainly going to be a bone of contention in Batumi, and shows how dependent Georgia is on Turkey. The border closures themselves, which only lasted for like less than 12 hours, still just show that, you know, if Turkey really did enter some sort of chaotic period, how dangerous that would be for Georgia, how much that screws Georgia in terms of trading and so on.
Indeed, and the consolidation of power that all of this firing and arrests is leading to by Erdogan is a long-term problem, in that succession does not seem in the cards during Erdogan's life, at least as it stands now.
Well, I mean, Georgia has had the questionable benefits of living next to one sort of horrible dictator for a number of years now, and now it's got another one at its southern border. It's not an easy place to live. And the fact that Georgia manages to remain a moderately free place is a really wonderful thing, and long may it remain so.
Exactly. And speaking of its whack-out neighbors, monarch to the east, and Russia, and everybody knows about that, to the north, Turkey to the west, now on to the only hope for any democratic transition ever, pretty bleak as it may seem, Armenia. About a dozen gunmen stormed the police station in Yerevan on the 17th of July, taking several hostages. One policeman was killed, three were critically wounded. Gunmen call themselves the Daredevils of Sassoon. They are affiliated with the political opposition group Founding Parliament. The group takes hardline views on Nagorno-Karabakh. They consider making any concessions to Azerbaijan to be treason. The gunmen demanded it sounds like Dashnaks to me. Gunmen demanded release from prison of their leader, Girar Sefilyan, and demanded the resignation of President Serge Sargsyan. According to the reports, the gunmen are hoping to use the police station as a base for a nationwide rebellion against Sargsyan and his government. As of Thursday morning, they were still in control of the police station. They have four hostages, including Deputy Police Chief General Major Verdan Egizaryan and Yerevan Deputy Police Chief Colonel Valeri Osipyan. They have offered to release all four in exchange for Vladimir Gasparyan, Armenia's national police chief. In a related note, about 2,000 protesters surrounded the police station on Tuesday night and threw stones at police. At least 50 people have been injured, including 28 police officers. Police responded with tear gas and batons, and more than 100 protesters have been arrested, according to reports. It started because people were angry that gas and water supplies were cut and local roads were closed in the residential area near the police station, which sounds like BS to me, but it has become a protest against the government in general. Some people have even shown some support for the Daredevils of Sassoon.
Well, I mean, for a start, they're not Dashnaks. So the Dashnaks are a legitimate political party in Armenia who are in the governing coalition for many years and have seats in parliament and are also run from abroad. They're not run from Yerevan. These guys are real crazies. But the risk here is that the public sentiment that will be engendered by police breaking heads of regular protesters on the streets of Yerevan will go much further than the actions of a bunch of lunatic fringe oppositionists in shooting up this police station. And it just goes to show that what a knife edge even stable, corrupt Armenia often it really is, even though it looks pretty normal most of the time. There's this sort of cauldron of tensions bubbling up underneath. In 2008, you had these mass protests, about seven people at the very least dead as a result of live rounds being used on protesters by the army. Then there was a state of emergency. So, there's a lot of nasty things beneath the surface in Armenia, and they're bound to come out eventually. And the risk of the regime is that the police go too far in crushing the regular protesters, and that just emboldens the violent guys.
Yeah, like 2008, as you say. Travel to and from Georgia. Prime Minister Kvita Gashvili was in Turkey on the 19th of July to meet with Turkish Prime Minister Bin Ali Yerdirim. The meeting was planned before last week's failed coup attempt. The two signed three economic agreements, one for protecting and promoting investment between the two countries, one for international cargo transfer, one for easing international passenger transport. The two sides also discussed renewing the 2011 agreement to build a hydroelectric power plant on the Pekvati. They want to restart planning that project. President Margvelashvili and First Lady Maka Čičua were in Slovenia to meet with a Slovenian president. Two sides signed an agreement to make it easier for citizens of either country to obtain work visas. Interesting. Defense Minister Tinko Hidašeli was in Washington meet with officials from the U.S. Department of Defense. Pop singer Christina Aguilera is arriving in Georgia tomorrow. On Friday, she'll be putting on a concert in the newly built Black Sea Arena in Shekhotili on Saturday.
She's the inaugural artist to play at this fantastic new arena built by the charitable Kartu Foundation, which is run by former Prime Minister Bizini Vinashvili, and was a really great gift to the nation, and especially a well-timed one coming as it did so soon before the parliamentary elections. I wonder if there's a big constituency of swing voters out there who are particular Aguilera fans, or whether they just decided to invite her because she was cheap.
I don't know. The Vatican released the itinerary for Pope Francis's trip to Georgia at the end of September. He will meet with President Margvelashvili as well as Patriarch Ilya II and members of Georgia's Assyrian and Chaldean Catholic communities. He will give Mass at the Mikhail Mesri Stadium on the 1st of October. After Georgia, Pope Francis will visit Azerbaijan, where he'll meet leaders from the Christian and Muslim communities there. Parliamentary Speaker Datta Usupashvili said that he rejected an offer to leave the Republican Party and join Otsneva. The Republicans were part of the Otsneva coalition before leaving the coalition this past March. They will run separately in the parliamentary elections in October. However, they said they are open to cooperating with Otsneva after the elections.
Well, they're not going to get into parliament, so...
I don't know. I mean, they...
There's a 5% threshold. Who's going to vote for Republicans? Their friends and family members and some diehard supporters from back in the day. Last time they ran as an independent bloc was in the... independent party was in the parliamentary elections of 2008, and they got 3.5%. And I don't see them getting significantly more than that this time around. If you're a liberal, if you're a pro-Western liberal that can't bear Misha and the UNM, then you vote for the Free Democrats, who are polling much better than them. Or you maybe vote for Girchi, who is the UNM splinter group, Pinecone, who have these wacky ideas and want to legalize marijuana. So there's plenty of options. Why would you vote for Republicans, the people that have stayed in bed with Bidzina too long and are now getting out in this unseemly way and pretending that they did right all along? It seems to me that they are totally screwed.
Yeah, I don't know. There needs to be a smart, reform-oriented, pro-Western opposition uniter, because there's no way that Alassania, who's going to get in and happy to lead the list and happy to keep doing this forever, he's not going to give up the first spot on the list. Usupashvili is legitimately a great leader of parliament, but not necessarily so much of a leader of too much else.
Right, also, you have to get into parliament in order to be speaking.
And you got to get into parliament. So what I'm wondering, and I don't really, have any special information here, is what I'm wondering is if this is just a convenient way for Datto to be freed of responsibility, be able to, maybe work out a little bit, get a little bit healthier, hit the pavement a little bit in preparation for presidential elections that'll be happening in a couple of years. I mean, he's a sort of, uniting, not very divisive figure.
I think he'd be a fantastic president. I just think that it's a shame that the Republican Party will die as a result of all these things. And I don't think that his potential presidency is a replacement for the Republican Party, which for years has been a voice of, from time to time, at least, a voice of reason. They've done pretty good things. They've broadly advanced a liberal agenda in Georgia, and they've been pretty good at it. And it's just a shame that their naivete crossed with their self-belief has led them to this situation where they're going to get wiped out on October the 8th.
As will Girchi, I fear as well, who, because it's composed of people who are not officially party members, are telling themselves that they're not completely identified as Mishas.
I think Girchi, I don't know about Girchi, I wouldn't want to put money on it, but I think Girchi might surprise us. Girchi are incredibly popular among the rich elite of Tbilisi, who don't make up much of the population, but are opinion formers. You'd be surprised how many sort of well-off, educated elite people in Tbilisi are big fans of Girchi for various reasons. I wouldn't be surprised if they got into parliament. I'd be surprised if they got more than 5%, though. But I think they have a chance of getting into parliament, a slim one. But if they could do it more than the Republicans, I would think.
I would agree with that, but I wouldn't. Even money bet, I would not put on them passing the threshold. I think the Free Democrats, for whatever reason, are the go-to vote there, which is not necessarily a good thing, because I'm not sure that Alassani is such an experienced leader of much.
Alassani is a fantastic public servant. He was a great Minister of Defense. Before that, he was a great ambassador to the UN. Before that, he was a great negotiator with the Abkhaz. But he's not a political leader. He doesn't have the fire in the belly, and that's what you need in Georgia. But you're absolutely right. Where is the unifying figure? And to be honest, it's to the discredit of both Alassania and Usipashvili that the natural alliance and the natural synergy that would exist between the Free Democrats and the Republicans has never been allowed to happen through purely personal reasons. They're ego reasons of various party leaders. And that has left a whole bunch of Georgian people with a terrible choice or, you know, and potentially no representation at all in Parliament.
Zala Ertobashi. The Free Democrats released the top 20 names on their party list of candidates for the parliamentary elections. Former Defense Minister Irakli Alassania is, surprise, surprise, number one, followed by Victor Dolidze, Nina Gogoadze, Zurab Abashidze, Irakli Chikovani, Shalva Shavgulidze, and Tamar Kekenadze. Former Foreign Minister Maya Panchakidze is ninth on the list. As a reminder, in the election, 77 seats, 150-seat parliament go to candidates from the party list. Other 73 will go to majoritarians. Zaza Pirilashvili quit the Free Democrats. He said it's because he doesn't feel comfortable in politics. He was appointed in March to handle the party's work in education, science, and culture. He was not named as a candidate in the parliamentary elections. Interpol suspended its search for Georgia's former security minister, Igor Giorgadze, taking him off the wanted list. He's been wanted since 1995 for allegedly planning an assassination attempt on then-President Edward Shevardnadze, which he indeed did. Georgia's chief prosecutor's office will continue to search for him. However, he is in exile in Russia, but has hinted that he wants to return.
We know where he is. I mean, you know, they can just knock on his door. He'll probably answer it in Moscow. But the trouble is that for 21 years he's been living in Russia under the protection of the Russian state, who commissioned that assassination attempt in the first place, which was an amazing assassination attempt, by the way. I think, you know, you should probably take the time to remember that. Like, was it not a bazooka fired from, like, the cliff above Rihe onto Shevardnadze's armored Mercedes?
This one was the 95 attempt, which was the one that took place right in Katsminda on the riverside of Rustaveli. And if I remember correctly, it was a car bomb. The one that you're talking about was in early 98, I think in February, which was very, very impressive, where they were speeding along the right bank. Shevardnadze was heading back to Kurtsanisi, and you had crossfire and RPGs and Chechens and all sorts of fancy stuff. The big, huge vehicle, the Mercedes, then sort of slid over to the side, and some cop in a Jiguli then grabs Shevardnadze, sticks him in there, bundles him off, and takes him to Kurtsanisi. What I remember from that one was the Mercedes ad that came out afterwards. Unfortunately, there was no Facebook that showed what the Mercedes, allegedly a president from...
President from the Germans, yeah.
Well, from Aliyev via the Germans. Aliyev didn't want to appear to have given it to Shevardnadze, so he paid Mercedes to say, "This is a gift from us." And it was evidently a very, very well fortified vehicle, and had no trunk because, well, oil, put the oil slick, and they had cars coming up from behind to put an oil slick down so that they all went off onto the side. And it showed that car, and I mean, it looked like it had been crumpled up like a piece of paper compared to compared to the new one. Anyway, so yes, Igor Giorgadze, assassin protected by the Russian state. Anybody wants to go find him, he's sitting around in Russia somewhere. And everybody knows where he is. I mean, not difficult
to find. He's on TV all the time.
Exactly. Constitutional Court rejected a claim by the National Movement that Parliament committed manipulation when it redrew electoral districts, and that the redrawn districts give an unfair advantage to its neighbor. 8 districts were redrawn last December to narrow the large difference in size between some districts. Court found no evidence of wrongdoing. To provide some background, the Council of Europe's Venice Commission was in favor of the changes made last December. And there was enormous variance in the size of the districts. The districts were largely old rayons that were sort of carved up out of the original regions, which is a more traditional Georgian boundary. They were all Soviet boundaries that they just kept with you know, variance between
6,000 and 150,000.
Yeah, so Kazbegi
was 6,000, and Zugdidi is 150-something.
Right, I mean, so it was crazy and obviously needed to be changed. And, I mean, I think they changed a lot more boundaries than that. I've been trying to find a good map of that I'll take a look at, and I'm sorry that I haven't, but... this new district, evidently it's within the Venice Commission variance of whatever it is, 20% or something.
The difference is between about 40,000 and 50-something.
Right, which is reasonable. But I have not checked that out. So
the charges of gerrymandering seem a little bit spurious to me, given that no one knows how the hell anyone's going to vote in this next election. So quite a difficult thing to gerrymander.
Yeah, exactly. The way you gerrymander is when you know how people are going to vote. You plug it into a computer and they come up with incredibly bizarre district boundaries. And I have not heard that these boundaries are particularly bizarre. Georgia's ambassador to France confirmed that a Georgian man was killed in the Nice terror attack. He had been working in Belgium for some years and was married to a French woman. Ministry of Defense launched a new scheme that will allow more soldiers to choose where they physically serve after they complete their first professional contract with the Georgian Armed Forces, designed to make it easier for long-serving soldiers to be closer to their family. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus is Transparency International. Georgia called on the Central Election Commission to investigate claims that the National Movement is trying to buy votes in the parliamentary elections. Transparency's statement says that the National Movement member Levan Varsholomidze approached people in Batumi and said that the party would give them apartments for free if they pledged to vote for them. President Margvelashvili told Rustaviotti that he thinks the media is expressing more anti-Western views than they did in the past. He said that that's because Otsneba doesn't restrict anti-Western voices, whereas the National Movement did. He also said that Russian propaganda is more sophisticated and is becoming more effective in Georgia. And I'd agree with him on both counts.
He got a lot of stick from it, though, from the tabulas and so on, the staunch UNM supporting outlets of this world for suggesting that the prevalence or the increased prevalence of Russian propaganda or pro-Russian sentiments was in some way a sign of sophisticated democratic pluralism. So that's basically what he said. He said that the existence of these pro-Russian voices and they should get into parliament because there's pro-Russian sentiments shows our political pluralism. And on one hand, of course, that's true. On the other hand, it also speaks of a country that allows Russian money to finance these dodgy NGOs and to finance these strange media outlets, which are basically pretty poisonous.
Yeah, I mean, a little difficult to do anything about that. And I think that the thing that he said that was true was that there was real fear under the Saakashvili government about anybody expressing pro-Russian views. I mean, people would do that and things would happen to them. You know, dad's businesses would get visited. And I think that was what Taboola was concerned about. If, for example, this government really did want to do anything about Russian propaganda, which it doesn't, they would address it somehow by having, for example, not such a puppetish Kanal Pik in the Russian language, or they would just in general support the media more than they do right now. The worst thing that the media has going for it right now is, you know, when you have the informal leader of the country, you know, talk about his respect for Osvaldo Savaldi, it doesn't really do much for just general media quality. And right now, Russian propaganda is so tied in with just crazy conspiratorial low-quality media that it means, that there's just general media problems. It's difficult to say what's Russian propaganda and what's just BS.
Yeah, it's also in the context of when the government is essentially trying to close down the current iteration of Rustavi 2, that sort of then puts the whole spin on the Russian thing into sharper focus. The government is perfectly happy for these tin pot, two-bit Russian propaganda outlets to thrive, but it's not happy for a major television network supporting the opposition.
Right, because that major television network is very anti-government and is very, very popular, you know, whereas the plethora of different newspapers, some of which have absolutely as confusing ownership structures as Rustaviotti, you know, they don't see as a big threat. Russia's State Duma recommended the government ban imports of Georgian wine and Borjomi. They want to punish Georgia for supporting the EU's economic sanctions against the Crimea, something that has been going on since June 2014. Five Georgians were arrested in Turkey on suspicion of killing a police officer. The murder reportedly happened while they were committing a robbery. They killed a policeman who was trying to stop them. There was a shooting outside the National Bureau of Enforcement in Tbilisi. Three people were involved. One was killed. Another was injured. Police reported that it was a personal conflict. The three of the people started arguing while inside the building. They went outside and started shooting each other. The shooter has been arrested for murder. Three people were stabbed at a nightclub in Batumi on the 19th of July. A Russian woman is missing in Kazbegi after she and two other climbers were struck by lightning while climbing at an altitude of 5,000 meters. The other two climbers were found, but rescuers are still trying to find the missing woman.
Yeah.
Group of people demonstrated in Tbilisi against the detention of Kote Japaridze, a 22-year-old man who is serving a one-year prison term for being in possession of 2 grams of ecstasy. He was ordered to pay a 25,000 lari fine. The demonstrators and Mr. Japaridze's lawyers are saying the court are treating him like a drug dealer when actually it was for personal use.
It's outrageous. So he was also a recipient of the presidential scholarship, this guy. So he's an incredibly hardworking, achieving, like, young guy who's going to go on, hopefully, would be going on to do great things. And he's had his life completely ruined for 2 pills of ecstasy. So he can no longer, I mean, along with the 25,000 lari fine, which is huge in Jordan. I mean, that's like sell the apartment money. And the 1 year in jail, which is no joke. He can not serve as a lawyer, as an MP, as a doctor. Basically, half the decent career choices in Georgia are closed off for him for the next 10 years. His life is ruined. And the law that the Georgian Dream promised to change, to make it sensible, so that you can be busted with 0.0001 of a gram of heroin, and it's considered a large amount. And if it's a large amount, it means you can get the sentence of a dealer, which means 8 years, which is more than you get for rape. And so these drug laws, which are a complete, a black stain on Georgia's already patchy judicial record, and would be so easy to change in such a positive way, which would do so much social good. The Georgian Dream don't want to touch it, even though they promised they would. And it's a huge failure.
Well, all of this was started under the national movement, and certainly there's movement. There's now a lot of interest in changing that, particularly by young people. Why don't they change it?
Because they don't want to anger the church.
Just the church.
I mean, I can't imagine what other constituency do they not want to anger.
Because the national movement, of course, used it for plea bargaining. That they changed the criminal code so that it was point gazillion percent of whatever.
The people that support changing the drug laws, the activists, the people who are out on the street leading very large demonstrations on a regular basis, these people do not support the Georgian Dream. It would be a gross calumny to say that they supported the national movement, but they are an anti-government group of young people. And as such, I don't think that the Georgian Dream have any interest in advancing their agenda. So it's that too. But the national movement have, if you talk to national movement leaders in private, ever since 2012, they've been promising that their next big policy announcement would be decriminalization of marijuana. The national movement, exactly. Uh-huh. And they haven't done it. So Giritschi, the splinter group of the national movement, that's their flagship policy now. And that's why I suspect they may do a little bit better than...
good point. All right. Well, especially with
the
Misha Magadia, former environment minister, who everybody knows.
It was his idea.
Right. Everybody knows. He lights one up every once in a while.
Who doesn't?
The National Bank of Georgia reported that remittances into Georgia were up by 4.9% in June when compared to June 2015. Total remittances were 230 million lari. Russia was still the largest source, although the share fell a bit from last year. The EBRD is providing a $100 million loan to telecommunications provider Magnicom to purchase a broadband internet network from Caucasus Online. Transaction will allow Magti to expand overall internet connectivity to Georgia, allegedly. EBRD is also providing $155 million to Rustavi Azot, a company that produces nitrogen-based fertilizers. The loan is intended to help Rustavi Azot double its capacity to produce ammonia.
Why do you say allegedly when it comes to Magti's increasing internet connectivity?
Well, I just worry a little bit about that. I mean, I think Magti's a good company, but I worry about consolidation just because of the history of that, the way in which internet connectivity with Caucasus Online and others were coercively merged under the national movement. And I don't know that Georgia state structures are strong enough to, although we will come to it in a little bit, hopes for fiber, in which to deal with Georgia, getting the high-speed internet connectivity that it really needs. But we'll see. I mean, I have no reason to believe that Magti will do it any worse than anybody else. I just worry about state oversight in terms of keeping competition going. The EBRD's total investment in Georgia topped 325 million euros in 2016, an all-time high. They plan to invest 400 million euro in total by year's end. Government approved a program to create a fiber optic network that will connect more than 2,000 cities and villages across Georgia. The $100 million project will be implemented by the German company Detecan and is being funded by the Cartu Foundation. The government said that high-speed internet will be available throughout the country by the end of 2017. Hope so, because that would certainly be a great, great thing for Georgia. Surprised they wouldn't get the Koreans to do that, but okay. Azerbaijan loaned about 30 harvesting machines to Georgia so far, so that farmers in Kakheti and Femokartli can bring in this summer's grain harvest. The grain crop is about twice as large as last year's, and farmers need extra help. Ministry of Defense gave apartments to 42 soldiers that were wounded while in service. The apartments are in complex in Varkatili. 30 more soldiers will receive apartments in the near future. Government also gave new apartments to 198 internally displaced families. The new homes are spread out across Tbilisi, Kutaisi, Khoni, and Lagodechi. Georgia National Tourism Administration, or GNTA, published a guidebook on Jewish heritage sites in Georgia, printed in English and Hebrew. They said about 33,000 people visited Georgia from Israel during the first half of 2016, almost twice the number who came during the same period last year. Wheelchair fencer Irma Khetsouriani won the Women's Wheelchair Fencing World Cup in Warsaw. Parliament rejected a bill that would prohibit smoking in restaurants. There was resistance to the bill by the entire parliament, since they smoke, and resistance from critics saying the regulations were too harsh and would hurt businesses. It's also supposed to come with an amendment on the law on advertising, which would prohibit all commercials for tobacco products.
I mean, it's completely ridiculous. The law was perfectly reasonable and was sort of a German model, which allows there to be smoking sections in restaurants. I think a third of a restaurant was allowed to be smoking. And it's the idea that it's bad for business. Well, what's really bad for business is having people become ill at a, you know, and a burden on their families and the state. That's genuinely bad for business. And it just shows the unbelievable short-termist attitude of Georgian politicians of all stripes, who just can't see that that trying to prevent harms now is going to get pay great social dividends in the future. And it's a very shameful day for the Georgian Parliament, that.
And as for
the advertising, I mean, not only is cigarette advertising completely prevalent all over Georgia, but I'm not entirely sure how much of a social good those advertising companies really are. I mean, what does turnover in outdoor.g really do for the country at large?
Yes, agreed. Meme this week is a video by Christina Aguilera. She addresses her fans in Georgia before she arrives next weekend to perform at Black Sea Arena. Foreign Affairs predicts the aftermath of the coup attempt in Turkey. Erdogan has an excuse to further purge his enemies from the government and military crackdown on civil society, and it won't be pretty. We've got that and some other stuff to read. Posted the James Stavridis writes in Foreign Policy about how Turkey's coup attempt will affect its relations with NATO. For starters, Erdogan purging thousands of officers and soldiers will make the Turkish military weaker and less able to contribute to NATO missions. Also, Turkey houses some of the U.S.'s tactical nuclear weapons. The Clarion has a piece by CRC which looks at which public service issues people find most dire and important. For Tbilisi residents, it is pollution. For people in the regions, even split between roads and water supply. Richard Giragosian writes in Al Jazeera about the Hafsid situation in Yerevan. He argues that it's a symptom of a bigger problem, the Armenian government's lack of accountability before the public. Chaykhana's new edition is on entrepreneurship in the South Caucasus. Mari Nikuradze shows the stories of IDPs from Abkhazia living in Tbilisi, how they make a living. Some have butkas. Others turn garages into shoe repair shops. Georgi Lomsadze writes in Eurasianet about the Islamic school in Batumi that's associated with Fethullah Gulen, a cleric whom the Turkish government thinks is responsible for the coup attempt that we were talking about earlier. Eurasianet's Marianne Grigorian covers the hostage crisis and protests in Yerevan. She views the protests as an expression of anger against the government, similar to last year's Electric Yerevan demonstrations. Human Rights Education Monitoring Center publishes a paper on the legal situation faced by members of the LGBTI community in Georgia. Women's Initiative Supporting Group publishes a paper on social attitudes towards members of the LGBTI community in Georgia. They find that the legal environment is improving, but the negative attitudes affecting these people are on the rise. Tbilisi-based Economic Policy Research Center, which does great economic analysis, published a paper on the economic link between Georgia and Turkey. It's part of their Georgia and Neighbors series. The Financial compares Cost of living in post-Soviet cities. They find Tbilisi to be the sixth cheapest. It costs about one-third as much to live in Tbilisi as it does in New York City, which they use as their baseline. Chisinau is the cheapest post-Soviet city at 27% of New York City's cost. Tallinn is the most expensive at 52%.
I just don't believe those statistics at all. I mean, Tbilisi's got to be way, way cheaper than, only 30% cheaper than New York City. And Moscow's got to be probably as expensive as New York City.
Or more.
Also, the financial, let's face it, God bless them, but there are no reliable sources.
Well, okay, but yeah, it's in the financial, but it's a listicle from, God knows who that,
A listicle from God knows who.
Yeah. The financial is a reporter of listicles from God knows who, so I don't know. But, it's all, when Tbilisi's on a listicle, Tbilpod.com will be there with the listicle for you so that the cocktail listicle conversation, you'll be up to date. U.S. Republican Party publishes its 2016 electoral reform, which contains a commitment to defend Georgia's territorial integrity, as the U.S. Republican Party has always done so enthusiastically, for example, in 2008. Irakli Menabde of the Georgian Co-Investment Fund is interviewed by CNBC about the effect that Brexit could have on Georgia's economy. He said, no problem.
I want to know what he thinks about what the effect Panorama Tbilisi, which he's building, is going to have on Georgia's economy. Because I think it's going to hurt it by reducing tourism in the old town of Tbilisi.
It's going to hurt it a lot. That's an interesting question. I don't know. We'll have to listen to that.
Ask Mr. Menabde, but he's not going to answer you because he doesn't do anything. And you check out their website. It's a travesty, the GCF. It's a viper's nest of very potentially corrupt things.
With you. All this stuff posted on the forum. Dive bar number this week is 101, the maximum depth in meters of Kelly Lake near Gudauri. Kelly is the deepest lake in Georgia. Dive bar is looking for a new bartender for both locations. Need experienced bartenders who speak English. They prefer male Western expats. You can apply by sending an email to divexfabrica@gmail.com or divetbilisi@gmail.com. English language open mic in Tbilisi will launch on the 24th of September at restaurant Vihen Stefan in Sabartalo. The event will be held every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. The venue is located at 27 Kazbegi Avenue, formerly Pavlovi. You can find more information at the Facebook page if you search open mic MIC Tbilisi TBILISI. Get ready. This is your big chance. Ire Pechit are having their second ugly walk on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. You can join them in Vake Park. This week will be led by Irakli Zhvanya, who will focus on the green spaces that Tbilisi still has and how to make sure they stick around. Ire Pechit is a nonprofit working to make Tbilisi a better place to live, especially for people who walk. If you look for Ire, that's I-A-R-E, Pechit, P-E-K-H-I-T, on Facebook, you'll find them and can find the walk. I really encourage people living in Tbilisi, especially foreigners, to go on this walk. The walk will be in English, and they will explain to you what is going on through that entire area. It's very, very interesting. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1977, Marvin Gaye and Got to Give It Up.